Do you ever get angry, my friend? Now, I'm not talking about an anger because somebody did you in, because they didn't do what was right. But do you ever feel a surge of anger because what someone else has done is not right towards others? They shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have acted that way. It was cruel. It was mean. It was evil. It was insane. And so there's an anger that flares up in you. And it's a righteous anger. Do you know what? It's an anger that God can relate with, because God gets angry. God gets angry over things that destroy and distort men's lives. There is what the Bible calls a righteous anger, because there is a righteous God, and He doesn't like it when things are done wrong. And what happens to people who fall into the hands of a God that has a righteous wrath? We'll talk about it today. It is time to go to the Word of God. You know, this book is pure, unadulterated truth. Nobody's messed with it because God has watched over it, and He's preserved it all these years because He wants you to know truth, and He wants you to know it for yourself. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming to study the Word of God so that you can discover for yourself what God has to say about the subjects that He covers in this book. Well, you know that we're studying Romans, and if you don't know, we're studying Romans, okay? And Romans is a book in the New Testament. It's a book in the New Testament that is written by the Apostle Paul, and of all Paul's letters that he writes to different people around the Roman Empire during the time of his life, this book contains more Old Testament references than any other epistle that he wrote. It contains references to what we call, or what the Jews would call, the Tanakh, to the Old Testament. Why? Because the Old Testament becomes the basis of the New Testament. As a matter of fact, what you see laid out in the Old Testament really comes to fruition, really comes to maturity in the New Testament. And if you would ever sit down, even as a Jew, and read this New Testament, you can get it on your computer and call it up and just go through and at least read and pick out for yourself what God says that you would recognize in the Tanakh if you're a student of the Word of God. Well, we're going to mark a new word. We've been marking words. Why? Because what you want to do is you want to find the key words. Key words are important words to the text. They're words that if you extracted them, if you put in a syringe and pulled that key word out of the Bible or out of that particular book of the Bible, then it wouldn't make sense. They're important words because they give you insight into what this book is all about. And in Romans chapter 1, he's going to talk about the wrath of God. As a matter of fact, Romans is about the gospel that delivers us from the wrath of God. Now, that ought to be good news. There is a way that you can escape the wrath of God. So in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." Now, what I want you to do is I want you to mark wrath, and I would suggest that you just take a red pencil or a fine red pen and that you just draw it like this. You see it on the screen, and that you draw it like that, and that you mark wrath that way as you go through the Bible. All right. Now, what is Paul talking about? Paul in Romans chapter 1 is saying that he wants to come to Rome and he wants to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome. Why does he want to preach the gospel? Because he's a debtor to the gospel, because he's under obligation. Why? Because this gospel, this good news, this message has the power to change a person's life. It has a power to take them out of slavery to any sin, and we'll discuss sin in a few minutes, to any sin, and set them free. It has a power to deliver them from hell. It has a power to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God. It has the power to give them everlasting righteousness. It has the power to give them forgiveness of sins. So in this, he is talking about the gospel. So let's pick up at verse 16 and let me read it to you so you can get it in context. You read along with me. It's good for you to read the text. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it, and you've marked it like you've marked the gospel with a megaphone, it is the power of God. Remember, we saw that that's the dunamis. You know, it doesn't come from the word dynamite, but maybe we took dynamite and made it after power, because you light a fuse of a stick of dynamite and it's explosive. So it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, what do we mean about the righteousness of God? We studied it last week, but it bears repeating. The righteousness of God means this, that God always does what is right. You can never take God to court. I mean, you can haul him into court if you want to, and I'm sure that many of you have done that and said, why? You know, if you're God, why don't you do this? If you're God, why don't you act like this? And if you're God, why don't you stop this? So you may haul him into court, but you know what? When you haul him into court, the judge and the jury are going to pronounce him innocent, because God is righteous. Everything that God does is right. Because God is God, because there's no flaw in him, because there's no sin in God, there's no bias in God. God is God. And so it says in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, and we saw this last week, from faith to faith. In other words, it is revealed by you and I believing, and then by you and I living according to what we believe. Believe simply means it's the word P-I-S-T-E-U-O in the Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in the Koine Greek, the common Greek language of the day. And it simply means to believe, but it doesn't mean believe intellectually. It means to believe so that you commit yourself to what you believe and you act on it, or you live in the light of it. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. All right, now let's just stop there before we hit the wrath of God and talk about it, because you're going to see a contrast here. All right, and when he says the righteous man shall live by faith, remember I told you that Paul quotes the Tanakh, the Old Testament, more in this epistle than any other epistle that he has written, any other letter that he has written. It's easier to say letter, isn't it? All right, so what is he quoting? Well, he is quoting a verse in the Old Testament, a verse that is in the book of Habakkuk. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go to Habakkuk. It sounds like when you say Habakkuk that you ought to say, God bless you. You know, it's almost like sneezing. Habakkuk, you know. And so, but Habakkuk is a book that is only 3 chapters long. I've written a book and it's called When Bad Things Happen. And when you look at that book, When Bad Things Happen, I take you to the book of Habakkuk. Because in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is upset with God. He's upset with God because he says, I'm crying for help. How long will I cry for help and you won't hear? I cry out to you violence and you don't save. He says, why do you make me see iniquity? Now, what is iniquity? Iniquity is what is awful. Iniquity is what is just not right. Iniquity is what makes most everybody, unless they have a seared conscience, just absolutely mad. He says, and why do you cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention exist. He says, therefore, the law is ignored. I mean, do you ask, I want justice. And you watch Law and Order, you watch all these different programs because you're into court cases and things like this. You want justice. You know, you go to Judge Judy. What do you want? You want justice. All right. Now, do you always get it? Not with man, you don't always get it, because there's graft and there's corruption. That's what was happening in the day of Habakkuk. He says, justice is never upheld. The wicked surround the righteous. In other words, the bad guys are winning. The bad guys have circled the righteous guys. It's the Indians, so to speak, and I'm not saying they're bad, but cowboys and Indians, you know, have circled the cowboys, or the cowboys have circled the Indians. In other words, you know, the righteous are encompassed about by these wicked people. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. And then he goes on to talk about to God. He says, you've got these people, these fierce Babylonians, these Chaldeans that are coming against us. And they don't believe in you. They look at men just like fish. You, God, honor life. We as Jews honor life. It's precious. It's sacred. You've taught us that. But they don't think so. They catch men like fish in a net and they just toss them away. They don't care. They're a fierce and impetuous people, God. Why are you allowing them to do this to us? And then he says, art thou not from everlasting? Verse 12, O Lord, my Holy One, we will not die. Now listen, Habakkuk looks at God and he says, you know, I don't understand it all. But I know that you're God. And I know that you may judge us with these people that you tell me that you're going to bring against us, these Babylonians. But I know this. I know we will not die. And listen to me carefully. He's saying, I know we will not die because you are a righteous God and you cannot lie. That's why I know we will not die, because you're righteous. You are a God who does what is right. So I might not understand why you're going to bring these Babylonians, these Chaldeans against us. But I know this. I know that you promised that we would exist as a nation forever. Did you get that? They will exist as a nation forever. Whether you hate the Jews or whether you love the Jews or whether you're just apathetic about the Jews, I want you to know this, that God has the Jews as the apple, the pupil of his eye. In other words, they are very, very dear to him and they're always going to exist. So he goes on and he talks about this. And then he says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. I will watch to see what he, God, will say to me and how I may reply when I'm reproved. I know that God's going to show me. Your thinking's off, Habakkuk. Then the Lord answered me and said, now listen, record the vision. You're right. I'm going to talk to you. You write it down, inscribe it on tablets that the one who reads it may run. Write it down, put it up there so that people can come along and read that and say, hey, I've got to get this message out. And so he says, this is what I want you to do. He says, for though the vision is for an appointed time, it hastens toward the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. That's what Paul is picking up from the Tanakh. And what does it mean? It means a lot. It means a lot to you. And we'll talk about it when we come back. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is help, Lord, help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd. Welcome back. I just want you to know that what we're offering you is so important because it will help you grow. You can trust me. I will never offer you anything or try to get you to get anything that is not going to profit you, but you're going to have to use it. All right? And it's all designed to help you study and know God's word for yourself. So let's get back to the word. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. In other words, it's embraced by faith, to faith, as it is written. The righteous man shall live by faith. Now, how are you and I who are born sinners? And we're going to see that later. What is sin? Sin is a willful, and you might want to write this one down. Sin is a willful refusal to believe, embrace, live by the truth of God. Sin is a willful refusal to embrace, to live by, to believe the word of God, the truth of God. And the truth of God is the word of God. Jesus cannot lie. And Jesus prayed for you and me, and it's recorded in John 17. And this was just before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was going to be arrested and then taken and crucified. And this is what he prayed. He said, Father, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to keep them from the evil one. And then he said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart. In other words, set them apart means I would take this out of this basket and I would set it apart and I would say, okay, that's for God's use. That's sanctified. The word saint and sanctified and holy all come from the same root word in the Greek language, H-A-G-I-O-S. So in John 17, he says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, use the truth of your book to set these people aside for you. Sanctify them through thy truth. And then he made this statement, thy word is truth. This is the book that Jesus believed. This is the book that Jesus lived by. This is the book that Jesus proclaimed. He proclaimed the word of God. So if you want truth, this is it. You say, I don't believe that. You know, you don't have to. God lets you not believe. And that's hard to imagine when God is sovereign and he could make you believe. He could do anything he wanted with you. But he's given you a free will and he will let you not believe. But you know what? You can't choose the consequences. You can choose your way, but you cannot choose the consequences. If you don't believe, you're going to perish. If you don't believe, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on you. Why? Because God is angry. God is angry because he has presented you with truth and you refuse to believe it. And you refuse to believe it because of your own stubborn will. Sin is the refusal to believe the truth that's given to us by God. The Bible says, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And here it says, the righteous man shall live by faith. You know, you can be very, very religious. And Romans 2 deals with that kind of a religion. A religion that is a form of godliness, but it has none of the power that we talked about, the power of the gospel in it that absolutely changes you. And so when he says the righteous man shall live by faith, this verse out of Habakkuk, this verse that is quoted again in Hebrews, this verse that is quoted again in Galatians chapter 3, and here it's used three times in the New Testament. It's used in Romans 1, it's used in Galatians 3, and it is used in Hebrews chapter 10. So this famous verse is a verse that started a reformation. There was a monk by the name of Martin Luther. A monk that wanted to please God. I mean, just wanted to be a man of God. A monk that would close the door to his cell and take a whip and beat himself. A monk who would not sleep on a bed but slept on a cold, cold floor. A monk who abused his body because he was trying to be righteous, trying to be right with God, trying so hard. He was doing, listen carefully, everything he knew to do, and it wasn't working. And you know why? Because he was trying to become righteous on his own. And this is the wonderful message. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek also, or to the Gentile also. Why? Because in it, in this gospel, is revealed to us how we're made righteous. And we're made righteous not by works of righteousness that we think that are right or that God says that are right, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, according to God's grace, he has saved us. For by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace, unmerited, unearned favor, are you saved through faith, through believing God. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Even the faith isn't of yourself. It's a gift of God. Salvation is all pure, unadulterated grace. It is unmerited, unearned, extravagant, lavish grace that is poured out. And Romans will go on to say, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The righteous man lives by faith, because the minute that he believes God, the minute he grasps God and he understands that he cannot do anything to merit salvation, to change himself, the minute he grabs that, then you know what happens? He escapes the wrath of God. He escapes the wrath of God because by pure faith and believing that, he is declared righteous and he is enabled to live righteously. By living righteously, remember, living righteously is living according to what God says is right. And that's the message that we're going to see in Romans as we move through it. But let me tell you about this monk. I mean, he did everything. He was in Rome, and he was going up these certain holy stairs, saying the Hail Marys and making his petitions to God and kissing each step, totally humbling himself, crawling up these steps, this great big monk. And as he did that, all of a sudden, this verse from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, from Romans chapter 1, verse 17, from Galatians chapter 3 and Hebrews 10:38, this verse came crashing into his head. It was a verse that he had read. You see, he found in the library at the seminary a book that had a chain through it. And this book that was chained so that nobody could take it out of the library. And it was a Bible. You've got to remember that we're living in the days when books just, I mean, it wasn't until the 1400s that a printing press was invented. So books were copied by hand. Books were treasures. So he sees this book that's chained. He opens it up, and in the sovereignty of God, in the desire of God that no man should perish, he takes this monk that he sees is searching for him and seeking for him with all of his heart, and he takes this monk who really is angry with God. He's very angry with God. I mean, he fumes and he fusses at God because he can never be right enough. And God's standards are impossible, and he cannot ever get a sense of peace in his heart. And so he's angry with God. And so he takes this monk, and the monk opens the Bible, and in the sovereignty of God, he reads Romans 1:17, that the righteous man shall live by faith. The just, another translation says the just is a righteous man, the just shall live by faith. It goes in here, and on those steps, as he's kissing those steps and trying to earn favor with God, all of a sudden, the truth goes from here to here. And he's saved. He is saved. He is saved. He sees that he is going to escape the wrath of God because he's received a righteousness that comes by faith. Now listen, the only way you can ever be right with God is to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive him as your God, as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world. But if you don't, and we're going to talk about this next week, but if you don't, listen to what he says. He says, in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, by faith, to faith, as it is written. But the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, you got it? You marked it red. For the wrath of God is revealed, is being revealed. It's in the present tense in the Greek. That means continuous action. I illustrate it with a straight ongoing line. It's habitual, continuous. It says, for the wrath of God is now being revealed from heaven. Now listen to me very carefully. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, who hold down the truth by their ungodliness. You know what ought to make you angry? What ought to make you angry, and what is a righteous anger, is when you see men not behaving the way they ought to behave. When you see men and women mistreating each other, when we're all made in the image of God, when we're all brought into existence by God, then you ought to be angry. And that's a righteous anger. And what God is saying is this. Do you know what makes me angry? What makes me as angry is this. When men refuse to believe me, when men refuse to bow the knee, when men refuse to live the way that I want them to live, and I have given them the power to live that way through the gospel. Think about it. We'll talk about it next week.
All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.